Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Well, today we want to move along a little bit further in our examination of this great text on understanding salvation in Colossians chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. To understand that salvation, as we have already learned, begins with understanding our lost condition. If we don't understand we're lost, then we won't understand why we need to be saved. If we don't understand how desperate is our natural condition, then we're not going to look to God for a supernatural solution. And so the first part of the gospel is not the good news that Jesus saves, it's the bad news that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And we need to understand the bad news, and we need to proclaim the bad news. When we want to bring our friends and loved ones and neighbors to a believing faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, which, of course, is dependent upon the work of the Holy Spirit to do that. But God uses the gospel that we, human instruments, proclaim in order to bring understanding and life into human souls. And so we have a very important part to play. But let's understand that part of the role that we play is to make people understand their sin. We've got to preach their sinfulness. We've got to preach man's natural condition, dead, as we read in verse 13, in trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh. And I won't go back to explaining that again. I've already done that several times, that uncircumcision of the flesh part. I hope you've been with us previously. But we've got to understand that sin kills the human soul. It's as simple as that. In fact, we need to understand that sin has already killed every human soul. We're born that way. We're born dead in sin, dead in trespasses, because we are born human beings to the Adamic human race, and we are therefore sons and daughters of Adam, our father, who first sinned in the Garden of Eden and plunged the whole human race, his whole progeny into sin, and we come into this world spiritually dead. Several times I've had people tell me things like this when I've tried to talk to them about the gospel. I think I understand what you're saying, at least in part. I want to believe what you're saying. I want what you have. I want what you're talking about. But I just can't quite grasp it. I can't quite believe. Have you ever heard anybody say anything like that? I have, on more than one occasion. And I always encourage them to plunge on. Press on, like the man in the Bible who said, "Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief." We don't have to have an enormous amount of faith. And a person who talks like that, we can't see their heart, so we're not sure exactly in every case what they are saying. But if what they're saying is, "I don't think my faith is large enough," then that's not the issue. It's not how big is your faith, it's how big is God. Put your faith in God. Put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not your faith that we're counting on to save you. It's Christ who is the power of God unto salvation. And it is not how big is your faith, but it is in what are you placing your faith? Is your faith in the right one? Is your faith fastened upon the right object, the right person, the right message, the right understanding, the message of the gospel that has been revealed from heaven? If you are fastening your faith upon that, then, dear friend, though your faith may be weak, it is sufficient. It may be as a grain of mustard seed, but it is sufficient because it is laying hold upon the one who can save. But if what you are saying is, I don't understand, I can't comprehend, this doesn't make sense to me, I'm listening, I'm struggling. I've had people tell me, I'm reading my Bible, but I can't understand it. I'm listening to what you're saying to me, but I can't understand it. And the fact of the matter is, they're just simply describing the natural condition of every person apart from Christ. And you being dead in your trespasses, the uncircumcision of your flesh. Dead people don't understand. Dead people don't see. Dead people don't hear. Dead people don't comprehend. That person is just simply describing their dead condition. I'm glad they understand it. Most people don't. That's progress when you understand your natural condition. I'm hopeless. I'm helpless. I can't understand. I can't see. I can't comprehend. That's right, until God imparts life. But when he does, everything changes. And that brings us to the four aspects of salvation that follow. And I realize I've gone halfway through my time without even pausing to welcome you to this Tuesday, July 5 edition of the Beacon Broadcast, and to thank you, those of you whose financial gifts enable us to teach God's Word on this station. All right, what are the four aspects of God's gracious salvation? Well, number one is the impartation of life. That's what is necessary to deal with spiritual death. You've got to have the impartation of spiritual life, and that's what you have. You being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him. Praise God. What comes next? Aspect number two, the forgiveness of sins. He has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Trespasses. He already said that you were dead in your trespasses. Now he says, having imparted life to you, he has forgiven you all trespasses. The forgiveness of sins is an essential aspect of salvation. And here we are told that he has forgiven you all trespasses. A-L-L. He's talking about full forgiveness, total forgiveness, complete forgiveness. Forgiveness is pardon. Forgiveness is offenses that are wiped away. They are forgiven. The offense is removed. The record of the offense is removed. We'll see a little bit more about that in a moment. And the penalty is revoked. And that's what's involved in forgiveness. Forgiveness is an interesting word. There's a lot of aspects of it. And I'm thinking now, in a more practical sense, about our responsibility to forgive others, which is not really what this text is talking about. This is talking about something even more important, which is God's forgiving the sins of those to whom he has imparted life. And of course, it goes without saying that when he imparts life, he imparts enabling faith. That's not even mentioned here, but it's assumed. It is amazing how many places the Bible talks about salvation and doesn't necessarily mention faith. You say, whoa, 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 that's the most important part. Well, it is an essential part. And every text doesn't give you every aspect of salvation. I've heard people discuss, for example, about whether it is necessary to repent or not, because some texts don't mention it. Some just say, believe and you will be saved. And others say, repent and you will be saved. And others say, repent and believe and you will be saved. And some have concluded that because there are texts that don't mention repentance, that repentance is no longer a necessary element. Oh, come on, come on. It's just because it's not mentioned in every text doesn't mean that it's not an essential element. It is. And the truth of the matter is that repentance and faith are two sides of the same coin. And you don't have true saving faith without repentance, and you don't have true, complete repentance without saving faith. When you truly repent, then the result of that is you're laying hold upon God's remedy for your sins that you have now repented of. And so repentance and faith go together, and of course they're essential part, but what's even interesting is that there are some texts, like the one we're looking at now, that don't even mention faith, because they are focusing more upon what God has done than upon what man has done. Yes, we must believe. The Bible tells us that we are justified by faith. We exercise faith in Christ. For by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. Yes, we must believe. I'm not saying that we don't have to believe. But I'm saying here's a text that's dealing with four aspects of salvation. And it doesn't even mention faith. It mentions the impartation of life. And it is assumed that you will understand that when God brings a dead sinner to life, that he believes in the God who saved him, in the God who imparted life to him. Of course he does. When God brings life to a dead sinner, he repents of his sins. He realizes that he was dead in trespasses. God's now brought him to life, which enables him to understand that, to realize that. And his first response is to repent of his sins and to trust in Christ. And when he has exercised faith in Christ, a faith that has been imparted to him by God, that is part of this life that God has given to him, enabling him to believe, and when he exercises that faith which God has given him with the impartation of life, then what happens? All of his sins are forgiven. They're gone. Did you ever sing that chorus that I used to sing as a boy? Gone, 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 gone. Yes, my sins are gone. Now my soul is free, and in my heart's a song, buried in the deepest sea. Yes, that's good enough for me. I shall live eternally, praise God. My sins are gone. Well, that's exactly what's being said here. My sins are, you remember that last part? My sins are G-O-N-E, gone. That's what God does. He forgives us all of our sins. Someone will say, well, I'm glad he forgives all my past sins, but what about the future, the ones I will stumble into tomorrow? And we shouldn't be making any provision for it, but yes, we will sin, won't we? They're all forgiven, and yet we need to confess them. That's another story. Maybe I'll be able to talk about that in the broadcast tomorrow. But the first aspect of salvation, God imparts life. The second aspect, God forgives our sins. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.